that mind, Iran's leader says enemies of the Islamic Republic are opposed to the country's expansion of ties with its neighbors as well as Russia and China. Afghanistan says fighting between government forces and the Taliban has left more than 100 militants dead in the past 24 hours. And also in our headlines, the British Premier is facing more questions over a lavish makeover of his apartment as polls show the scandal is taking its toll on the Tories ahead of elections. Leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has hailed the valuable role played by the country's Quds Force, that's the overseas branch of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. Ayatollah Khamenei said the West seeks to keep Iran's foreign policy under its own influence and dominion as in the pre-Islamic Revolution era. That's why the leader added the West is outraged and aggrieved every time Iran seeks to establish ties with Russia and China. He said the Americans have on numerous occasions prevented visits to Iran by senior officials from its Arab neighbors. Ayatollah Khamenei also spoke about sanctions against Iran. He said the best and most successful way to nullify them is a genuine effort to boost national production. The leader also touched upon the upcoming presidential election, saying the polls are an important opportunity for Iran. Ayatollah Khamenei stressed that elections have always been clean in Iran. Joining us now from the Iranian capital, Tehran, is journalist and political analyst Mustafa Khoshchesh. Mr. Khoshchesh, welcome to the program. A lot of key points that were mentioned by Ayatollah Khamenei. Please walk us through them.
Hello, Ardia. Thanks for having me. Well, one of the points pertaining to Iran's ties with the regional states, as well as the Russians and the Chinese and others in the East, it's highly important to note that Americans know pretty well that if they intend to make, if they intend to maximize the effectiveness of their sanctions, they needed to contain Iran's economic power, especially in ties with the outside world, with the Russians as well as the Chinese, and also the regional states. But more important than that is that they always try to contain Iran's power, overall power. We're talking about various power components, not just the military or the nuclear industries, but Iran's scientific advancements and Iran's soft power, especially in the region. In the words of a former Pentagon, top Pentagon official, who said that we do not want to let Iran become a role model for the regional nations, and this matters more if I remember pretty well some of the Muslim thinkers coming from the Far East used to tell us that when we compare Iran with some rich, oil-rich Arab nations, we would like to be Iran, though it's under harsh sanctions and economic pressures. Still, even in the words of Western officials, Iran is a power, but they describe, I mean, media outlets like Spiegel of Germany, they describe Saudi Arabia, for example, as a land of three things: states, oil, and terrorism. So it's understood why, when it comes to the regional nations and Iran's soft power in there, the Americans have been trying to alienate Iran, demonize Iran, running smear campaign about Iran's intentions. And that's why they've been doing their best to contain Iran's relations with the outside world, and they have failed, of course. But this is not the only reason why Iran's foreign ties are important. Now, the Chinese and the Russians, especially the Chinese, have come to realize that if the Americans, who have been calibrating their maximum pressure and other tactics against Islamic Republic, including media warfare as well as stirring riots and other hostile actions that have been taken against Iran, if they go past Iran, then it would be China's turn, considering and making a comparison between the tactics they used in Taiwan as well as in Hong Kong, with what they've been doing in lands around Iran, in Iraq, and also in Iran. The Chinese have now come to realize that they shouldn't be so much, considerate and conservative, and that's why they have been inclined to widen ties with Iran. The same is true about the Russians, because they have realized, especially the Chinese, who were too conservative until a few years ago, believing that expanding ties with Iran could, incur some costs on their economy and economic growth, fast economic growth. Now they've realized that they should confront similar U.S. tactics in the Far East, in East Asia, if Americans could beat Iran. So this is a win-win game for Iran, for China, for Russia, and any other nation who wants to be independent to expand ties. And the first and most important thing to do that is setting the stage, preparing the ground through expanded cultural ties between the two nations in order to introduce each other's capacities and capabilities in various areas, including economy, in order to establish not an alliance, but at least coalition or forums, groupings to help each other to stand strong. This is going to drive Iran, China, and Russia relations in the next decade, especially considering that America is moving fast towards demise, even in the words of their own thinkers, and the global power and equations are transferring to the East. The Western civilization has done its role already, is moving towards demise, and this is the rise of the East. So the powers in this part of the world need to get closer to each other and stand closer to each other in order to help each other.
All right, thanks a lot. Journalist and political analyst Mostafa Khoshesh joining us from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Dozens more Palestinians in occupied East Jerusalem al-Quds are set to lose their homes as part of Israel's land grab policy to expand its illegal settlements. The Palestinian families say they are being forced to move to make way for a brand new settlement in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. It comes after a court ruled that at least six families must vacate their homes in the area by Thursday, despite having lived there for generations. A separate ruling by the same court means seven other families face the eviction by August the 1st. That's a total of 58 people, including 17 children. Under international law, the Israeli judicial system has no legal authority over the population it occupies. This week, Human Rights Watch said Israel's persecution of Palestinians and settlement policy amount to apartheid and crimes against humanity. Mona Candeli earlier joined us from Ramallah. She gave us details about Israel's settlement construction in the occupied East Jerusalem al-Quds.
Peace in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in East Jerusalem al-Quds is a little bit different, because the Israeli regime claims that they discovered that the homes where dozens of Palestinians lived in Sheikh Jarrah belong to Jewish people, and that the Israelis want to vacate all those Palestinians living there in order to replace the neighborhood entirely with a Jewish settlement and to bring the Israeli settlers there. Now, the Jerusalem District Court ruled that at least six families must vacate their homes in Sheikh Jarrah today on Sunday. The same court ruled that seven other families should leave their homes by August the 1st. In total, 58 people, including 17 children, are said to be forcibly displaced to make way for Jewish settlers to live in the Sheikh Jarrah area. Clashes continue to take place between Palestinians and Israeli settlers who are backed by the Israeli police officers in Jerusalem al-Quds.
Afghanistan's defense ministry says over 100 Taliban militants have been killed in the latest clashes with government forces. The ministry said the fighting also left dozens of Taliban militants injured. It did not say where the clashes took place. The ministry did not provide details about possible casualties. among government forces either. The Taliban and Afghan government forces have been fighting in several provinces in recent months. That comes as peace talks between the two sides have failed to produce tangible results. Moving on, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is facing more allegations over a lavish makeover of his Downing Street apartment. The Sunday Times says the total cost of renovating Johnson's residence was around $276,000. It says one invoice was directly settled by a Conservative Party donor that would need to be declared to tax authorities. According to the British paper, a Conservative Party donor was also asked to pay for childcare costs of Johnson's young son. The British government has rejected the allegations. It says the Premier has paid the costs himself. The allegations seem to have taken its toll on the ruling Conservative Party. An opinion poll shows the party is losing its popularity ahead of upcoming elections. Saeed Purazan London says if the UK Premier is found to have violated the ministerial code of conduct, his government may see top-level resignations.
The most recent polls have shown that the Conservative Party used to have a comfortable lead of 11%. Now it's gone down from that to only 5% against the opposition Labour Party. And that, I understand, is what the Labour Party is counting on in the elections that will be taking place next week, mayoral elections locally as well as other elections across the country, including in the devolved nations of Scotland, where we will be looking at parliamentary elections slated for Thursday. An investigation has been launched into these allegations, in particular the lavish refurbishment of the number 10 apartment. And if the Prime Minister is found to have violated the so-called ministerial code of conduct, then we're looking at a change at the top, a resignation at the very top of the British government.
Elsewhere, Britain has defended severe cuts to its overseas aid spending, citing the economic impact of COVID-19. Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab said it was an extremely difficult decision to slash the aid budget. He added that the government is adopting a more strategic approach to get maximum value out of its foreign spending. The planned aid cut is worth $5.5 billion. It has drawn criticism, with at least three UN agencies warning of a devastating impact. The UN Children's Fund said the 60% cut to its UK funding will have serious consequences. The UN Population Fund also said the plan would lead to some 250,000 more deaths around the world. German police say they have arrested over 250 people after May Day protests turned violent in Berlin. On Saturday, police in the German capital called the police unacceptable. They said around 50 officers were injured. Thousands attended several marches in Berlin as part of the traditional Labor Day workers' rights demonstrations. Violence broke out after police pulled a group of protesters out of the crowd for failing to adhere to pandemic hygiene regulations. The protesters pelted officers with stones and bottles and set fire to bins. Police used pepper spray to disperse the crowd. A new U.S. government report suggests the aid Washington offered to Venezuela in 2019 was directed at regime change in the Latin American nation. According to an audit by the U.S. Agency for International Development, material sent to the Colombian border in February 2019 will plan to be distributed by allies of Venezuelan opposition figure Juan Guaido to reinforce his credibility.
An audit by the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, has revealed that Washington's effort in February 2019 to send aid to Venezuela was part of a plot to change the legitimate government of President Nicolas Maduro in the oil-rich Latin American country. The USAID report noted that the aid offer was not planned in alignment with humanitarian principles, but for supporting pro-Western figure Juan Guaido. That is while Venezuela was grappling with chronic shortages of food and medicine. The document said materials sent to the Colombian border region in February 2019 were planned to be distributed by the allies of Venezuelan opposition figure Juan Guaido to reinforce his credibility. The
this administration under the former President Donald Trump planned for the aid supplies to be carried out by Guaido's allies across the Colombian border into Venezuela. However, the Venezuelan government blocked the aid convoys at the time, calling the U.S. move a violation of the country's sovereignty. In reaction to the audit, the Venezuelan Foreign Minister Jorge Arreaza said the U.S. offered aid to the oil-rich nation 2 years ago in a bid to overthrow the government in Caracas. Also, the Venezuelan Information Minister Freddy Nunez called the so-called U.S. humanitarian support an excuse in which Washington sought to break Venezuela's territorial sovereignty. Venezuela descended into political turmoil after opposition figure Juan Guaido unilaterally declared himself as the interim president in January 2019. He claimed Maduro's re-election in 2018 was fraudulent. The Trump administration recognized Guaido as the legitimate leader of Venezuela and publicly pursued a regime change policy against Maduro. Meanwhile, the Biden administration has reaffirmed the U.S. recognition of Guaido as the interim president and has ruled out negotiations with Maduro anytime soon. Washington has been pursuing a regime change in Venezuela and has imposed crippling sanctions on the country to force Maduro out of power. The organization USAID has been accused of political interference in the past. It has used aid and the notion of democracy promotion to interfere in countries like Russia and Cuba. Venezuela has been no exception.
Well, I would say yes, the U.S. does lose credibility when its plans get exposed, but that won't deter the United States from trying to push forward these plans. Really, what we have in the U.S. is there's one end goal, one end interest, and that interest is the interest of imperialism, of trying to open up markets and take resources from other nations that the U.S. either does not have enough of or would want to have more of. You know, one of those resources in terms of Venezuela being oil.
Well, that's a wrap for now.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Listeners special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, May 2nd, 2021. I'm Ota Fairfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So, dear listeners, please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special, the Sunday program, is your own program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Dear friends, today, as I said, is May 2nd, corresponding with the 19th of the blessed month of Ramadan. Dear friends, the 19th of the blessed month of Ramadan in 40 AH was when the renegade Abdurrahman ibn Muljam struck Imam Ali, peace upon him, with a poisonous sword, while the Imam was in Mihrab or Nichev, the Mosque of Kufa. Condolences to you on this tragic day. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. And here I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Konstantin Lasgin from Russia, Dan Olsen from Sweden, and Hector Fria Hofer from Chile. Well, Konstantin, Dan, and Hector, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And also a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails and letters. Here we have an email from Andy Martiniuk from Russia. Andy is one of our regular listeners. Also, we have an email from Vikram Keshwala from the UK, also one of our regular listeners. Mataram Kaga from India has sent us an email. Also, we have an email from Ratan Kumar Pal from India. That's great. And the last but not the least is an email from Mumi Sultana from Bangladesh. Dear friends, after a short break, I will be back with all these kind emails and letters from around the world just after the break. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. First of all, we have an email from Andy Martiniuk from Russia. Andy is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear friends, it is with great pleasure that I report the reception of IRIB English Radio. The overall reception quality of your broadcast was promising. If the information in this report matches your station log, I would greatly appreciate receiving a QSL or verification card from you, as well as some material about your station and your country. Thanks so much for your time. I hope your engineers found my reception report useful for the further programming. Good luck, and 73. First of all, Salam Andy Martiniuk from Russia, and warmest greetings to you. Many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio, and we're so glad that you had no trouble receiving our signals in your region, in your country, Russia, and as you've described it as promising and good, thank God. And regarding your request about sending you QSL card or verification card, my colleagues in IRIB English Radio are actually preparing QSL cards, also promotional items and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio, including the stamps and the postcards about Iran and other things, and the Iranian monuments, to send to our dear listeners around the world. Thank God. And anyway, we're so happy that you've properly received our signal. So, Andy Martinuk from Russia, please, in your upcoming emails to IRB English Radio, tell us which programs you like the best and tell us your views about IRB English Radio programs, because it's your views that are important to us. Many thanks for writing to us. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Andy from Russia. Also from the UK, we have an email from Vikram Keshwala. Vikram says, "Dear staff of IRIB English Radio, I could listen to your radio station today, and I'm writing to send you a reception report. I hope it will be of interest to you. Thank you so much for providing your program to the public, and continue to broadcast on shortwave while other broadcasters are leaving it. If you issue QSL cards, I would very much like to receive one, if at all possible. I look forward to future programs and will gladly send in reception reports from time to time. That is all. Thanks again for your help and kindness, and I look forward to hearing from you soon. And salam and warmest greetings to you, Vikram Keshwala from the UK. Many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. We also do believe that shortwave radio or traditional radio is still the most popular and the most favorable way of radio around the world, which is especially very suitable in the time of the coronavirus pandemic, where it is not possible to travel around the world. So radio and television are the best means to, you know, gain information about the culture of different countries and the politics and the news, everything. It's kind of amusement and kind of getting updated about the world developments, of course. Also regarding your request about sending you QSL cards, as I told other listeners, my colleagues, of course, are preparing the QSL cards and promotional items, including the postcards about the Iranian culture and Iranian monuments for you, dear listeners, after a long pause that was caused by the coronavirus pandemic. Thank God. So, Vikram Keshwala from the UK, please write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs, because it's your views that are important, as I said in the introduction of the program. Many thanks. We are looking forward to hearing from you. Stay safe and healthy. So, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from our dear listeners around the world. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we have an email from a new listener. This new listener is from India. He is Mutaram Kaga. He says, "I am a new listener of IRIB English Radio. I listen to your programs and visit your website time to time, and I have to say that both of them are quite informative and interesting. But I usually only took at your news at the website. It's for 2 months that I'm listening to your programs. Please send me a QSL card. Thank you. Salam and greetings to you, Mutaram Kaga from India, and many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. It seems that you've already joined IRIB English Radio. Welcome. It's an honor to have you with us as a new listener. You can also Mutaram Kaga, you can also find the archive of our broadcast in the website. As you know, the address is www.parsuzet.com/en, the archive and the online broadcast of the radio is available also in our website. So we are so happy that you enjoy IRIB English radio programs as well as the website. And as for your request about sending you a QSL card, my colleagues, as I said, are preparing those QSL cards and the souvenirs of our radio after long pause because of the coronavirus pandemic. Anyway, many thanks for writing to us. Mutaram Kaga from India, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We have another email from India. This email is from Ratan Kumar Pal from India. Ratan Kumar Pal from India says, greetings from West Bengal, India. I am a regular listener of your radio. A few days ago, I had a chance to listen to one of your programs that was about Iran's culture and tourist attractions, which I enjoyed it so much. Thanks for this nice and informative program. Please verify my reception with your QSL card and send some postal stamps of Iran and other countries. Stamps collection is my second hobby. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Ratan Kumar Pal from India. And deepest thanks to you for sending us this email. Ratan Kumar Pal, one of our regular listeners. It seems that you've already listened to an IRIB English radio program about Iranian culture and tourist attractions. I suppose it's called Close Up Iran, broadcast on Mondays. Yes, I think it's Close Up Iran. And this program is available, the archive of the, the recorded program is available in the website with the address www.parsadid.com/en. And we're so happy that you enjoyed this program a lot. And so Ratan Kumar Pal from India, write to us soon. We wish you all the best in your upcoming emails and letters. Please tell us your views about our programs because it's your views that are important. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon. Stay safe and healthy, Ratan Kumar Pal from India. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Bangladesh. This email is from Mumi Sultana from Bangladesh, who says, dear friends, please accept our warm greetings to all IRIB English radio staff. As a club president, we highly praise your best quality programs. Regularly, we visit your nice webpage. I think it is just like a mirror which shows your country and culture to the world. We pray for all listeners of IRIB English Radio to pass this pandemic safe and sound. We also hope we can get gifts and promotional items from you now or in the future. Our club has 186 members. Every year, we arrange a yearly sports and cultural program such as tree plantation, free sewing training for young female and educational programs based on age, etc. And Mumi Sultana from Bangladesh, salam, and you please accept our warm greetings and appreciation for sending us this email from Bangladesh. We are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are heard in your region, in your country, Bangladesh. Many thanks for reflecting your views about our programs and our broadcast. So you are a club president, and as you said, you praise our programs, and as you have assessed our programs as best quality, thank God. Thank you for your really inspiring message to IRIB English Radio, and you also said that you visit our webpage. Thank you a lot. It's an honor to have you with us. And as for your request about sending you promotional items, yes, my colleagues are preparing to do so. and they will do it in the near future. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your, sharing your experiences in your club. As you said, you have 186 members. Thank you for sharing your experiences and activities such as plantation, tree plantation, and sewing training. That's great. Thanks for sharing your experiences with us. And dear listeners of IRM English Radio, write to us soon, Mumi Sultana from Bangladesh, and tell us your views about our programs. For the time being, stay safe and healthy. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Well, dear listeners, with the best wishes, especially good health in the time of pandemic, we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with IRM English Radio and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
In the limelight.
For decades, the U.S. government has ignored the warnings from public health experts that the U.S. was not properly prepared for the pandemic Americans are living through now, says Bob Hennelly, a writer, in an article titled Many U.S. deaths during pandemic were simply due to lack of access to health care. Stay tuned, please, for the details of this article. In calculating its human toll, a pandemic is similar to a war. The most precise way public health researchers can get a handle on the impact of something like COVID-19 is to compare the number of total deaths recorded in a specific place during the pandemic with death tallies from prior years. That analysis will yield a figure known as excess deaths, which simply means deaths above and beyond what would normally be expected. That figure captures not just COVID-19 deaths, but the number of people who were unable to access health care at a moment in their lives when a chronic condition was becoming life-threatening. It also includes individuals whose primary cause of death may have been something else, but who were also infected by COVID-19. And now that the dust has settled and the data are being tabulated, America's excess death numbers over the past year are staggering. The importance of tabulating such a dark statistic is twofold. Its record-breaking nature is due to both largely for-profit healthcare system as well as U.S. government incompetence. Indeed, for decades, U.S. government ignored the warnings from public health experts that the U.S. was not properly prepared for the pandemic Americans are living through now. It's not like no one could saw the pandemic coming. In his book, The Great Influenza, the first published in 2004, John M. Barry presaged the COVID-19 crisis, describing how hospitals, like every other industry, have gotten more efficient by cutting costs, which means virtually no excess capacity on a per capita basis. The United States has far fewer hospital beds than a few decades ago. He continued, "Indeed, during a routine influenza season, usage of respirators rises to nearly 100%. In a pandemic, most people who needed a mechanical respirator would not get one. As we have learned firsthand over the last several months, because the healthcare system was overwhelmed, getting accurate cause of death data was itself a work in progress. No doubt, huge numbers of cases of COVID-19 may have been missed. In other instances, individuals may have died at home or succumbed to a chronic illness that was written off as COVID when it was not. The one constant comparative data point is death itself from any and all causes. Like birth, deaths are something we track with some precision. Hence, one way that medical researchers can get a sense of the scale of the impact of something like COVID is to compare the total number of deaths from all causes during the pandemic and compare it with the same data point over several prior years." Such an excess death analysis will capture the collateral impact of overwhelmed healthcare systems that were under-resourced long before the pandemic. It will include the people that died as a consequence of opting not to go to the hospital for an unrelated condition for fear of catching COVID-19. While that might not count as a COVID-19 death per se, it tells us something about what happens when we permit healthcare to operate without any margin or redundancy, what is effectively a form of rationing healthcare. According to a recently published study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, which looked at the rate of excess deaths from March 1, 2020 to January 2021, there were 522,368 excess deaths as gauged against averages over the same period from 2014 to 2019. At the start of this year, COVID-19 deaths were reported at just over 350,186 across the U.S. By comparing the excess rate of death with the COVID-19 reported data linked to its location, we can get some sense of whether the public health system had the hardest time holding up under the once-in-a-century strain of a mass death event. The study produced by researchers with the Virginia Commonwealth University School of Medicine in Richmond and the Yale School of Public Health calculated that COVID-19 accounted for 72.4% of the excess mortality. The balance may have been either immediate or delayed mortality from undocumented COVID-19 infection or non-COVID-19 deaths secondary to the pandemic, such as from delayed care or behavioral health crises. While nationally there was a 23% increase in excess mortality during the pandemic, New York State, which lost close to 50,000 to COVID, saw the nation's highest spike with a 38% jump in excess deaths. Though Mississippi and New Jersey actually exceeded New York State on a per capita basis, according to the researchers. In an editorial that was published with the study, Dr. Alan M. Garber wrote of the importance of grasping the bigger picture beyond the daily COVID dashboard. There is no more visible or alarming manifestation of the toll of the COVID-19 pandemic than the deaths it has caused, he noted. The missteps in responding to an outbreak that not only could be, but largely was, predicted should not give governments confidence that they are prepared for threats that are more speculative and possibly further in the future, Garber continued. Failure to anticipate the scale of the potential damage from such future catastrophes will only exacerbate the tendency to downplay their importance, making it less likely that governments will prepare adequately. That is why understanding the toll of a pandemic is an important step in the right direction. In New York City, where COVID killed more than 32,000 city residents, fighting the virus inspired life-saving innovations. It also exposed long-standing healthcare disparities that left some neighborhoods more at the mercy of the highly contagious and deadly virus, according to Dr. Mitch Katz, the CEO of New York City Health Plus Hospitals. NYCH Plus H, the U.S. largest municipal hospital system, includes 11 hospitals and saw some of the highest patient death counts early on. Over the course of the pandemic, thousands of H plus H workers from a myriad of job titles were sidelined by the deadly virus, which took lives of 53 employees. It was on the throes of this nearly unprecedented public health emergency that H plus H found ways to improve patient care while at the same time reducing the exposure of staff to the deadly virus, which helped to slow the spread of the virus. We have done a lot of work from the first wave about putting glass doors in or glass in the walls to create a window for cameras in the patient's rooms, microphones so that patients can be mentioned safely without going into the room, and that is a positive development whether there is COVID or some other infectious disease, Dr. Katz said during a phone interview. So I think we'll learn how to make our hospitals safer for the care of patients with infectious diseases, he continued. For Dr. Katz, one of the most sobering discoveries was how pre-existing disparities in the city's private and public hospital infrastructure left some communities so much more vulnerable during the pandemic. I think the fact that we had so many fewer hospital beds in Queens compared to Manhattan was one of the stark lessons, he said. Dr. Katz established a national reputation leading the public hospital systems in San Francisco and Los Angeles before returning home to New York. After years of experience on the front lines of urban healthcare on both coasts, he believes that the nation's vulnerability to COVID-19 can be traced back to steady disinvestment in public health that started during the Reagan era. As the city, state, and federal governments across the U.S. attempt to regroup after the death of more than a half million and the infection of well over 30 million, Dr. Katz believes policymakers would be well advised to consult the data not just on COVID death per se, but on excess mortality rates referenced by neighborhoods. He said, absolutely, and I think we have some sense already of the excess mortality that occurred both among people who had COVID and didn't come forward for testing, he added. Some of those people were undocumented immigrants or people who were very low income and feared coming forward to a hospital. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Forty recommendations by Imam Khamenei for the journey towards God. It will become auspicious. We should value the opportunity of fasting, performing rituals, and the atmosphere of worshipping and spirituality, and try to approach God. Taking distance from sins, approaching religious rituals, activating and enhancing ethics and human characteristics and behaviors are true causes of blessings for every person and community. We should take lesson from the Quran. We should learn from the du'as. We should ponder the purposes of our creation, our formation, the great endowments offered to us by God, and heavy responsibilities on our shoulders. We should contemplate over death and divine judgment, the importance of prayers and deeds when they are done sincerely. Then, the month of Ramadan will become a very auspicious month.
حلاوة الإيمان لا لا تنقضي أنت للروح دواء رمضان 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 يا حبيب رمضان رمضان ليتك دوما قريب
We should remain hopeful. Our people, our youth, our men and women are determined to purify themselves during these nights. The hearts will become soft, the eyes will become tearful, the souls will become effective. Fasting has also helped. We should be hopeful, pray to God, and try to reach spiritual essence in these nights. Because prayers are the means of the ascension of the believers. The night of Qadr is also the means that can lead to ascension. We should act in a way so we can ascend, getting as far as possible away from the materialistic abyss inflicted on many people across the world. The material attachments, bad temperaments, inhumane tendencies, aggressive behaviors, avarice, corruption, and oppression are detrimental to human souls. These nights should keep us away from these calamities. We are not dearer. You and I are not dearer to God than others who believed before us. Or those who will live after us, unless our deeds and piety are better than theirs. Heed that. If we prove more piety, more edification, act better, observe our duties and laws better, and we advance better toward these goals, we will be dear to God, but not otherwise. We should focus our efforts on this direction. We should be cautious not to fall in the traps others have fallen in. Anyone who is trapped will have the adverse destiny and disasters. And in that, there is no difference between them and us.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.